Hi, good afternoon, and welcome to our fourth series of webinars. This one in particular is on the signs and steps that you potentially need to take. And on the flip side, we've looked at it from the viewpoint of signs that you need to look out for in terms of any potential problem tenants or issues that you may foresee in the future. As always, 12:15 start, 15 minutes, short, snappy, informative. If there's any other subjects that you'd like us to talk about, then obviously feel free to email into marketing. Every single one of these webinars is driven by yourselves. Obviously, there's a number of landlords and letting agents on this call today. So, and any feedback, obviously, feed that back at the end. So, brief intro for those new people on the call. My name's Sim Secon, MD of Legal for Landlords, and in a nutshell, we are the complete insurance referencing and legal services provider to the sector. Today we're going to go through some brief statistics in terms of the marketplace and where we're at now. I'm going to go through 12 common signs of what to look out for, a brief summary on that, questions and answers. Again, for those not familiar to webinars, you can post your questions on the right-hand side in your control panel. I will try and answer some as we go along, otherwise I'll save them to the end for the Q&A. And also, for those that stay on for the full 15 minutes, there'll be a prize giveaway for the end. There will be a question asked there, and obviously, again, your responses, please complete the right-hand panel on the side to fill in your answers to the question for the prize giveaway. Just before we kick off, I'm going to do something new that we haven't tried before. But we're going to, just basically a poll fill, but I'm going to ask this for landlords and for letting agents on the call today. So for a landlord, what type of landlord are you? You know, what type of properties, how many properties do you manage? So I'm just going to quickly pop open a quick poll here. Okay, so you can click on your screen for me. So select one or more of the following, hit submit, and once I've had a large percentage come through, we'll share those results. Okay, a couple more seconds. Okay, close the poll. Share the results. Okay, so for the landlords on the call, so 20% are 1 to 3, 49, 17, 10 to 39, 25%, and then interestingly, 40 plus properties, 38%. If from our viewpoint, from a landlord's perspective, obviously we categorise, there's three goals of what every landlord looks at, and depends on what type of landlord you are, and obviously the number of properties and the time that you spend being a landlord determines that. So, you know, it's one of three things that from our research, it's either your biggest concern is rental arrears, rental voids, or for the more professional landlord, it's maximising that rental yield. And it's interesting to see we've got a good demographic on this webinar now from everybody attending, which is great. Let's get back to this. And the same question for the letting agents on the call, really. In terms of the whole marketplace as a demographic, you know, for landlords and letting agents, point of view, out the 16,000-17,000 agents there are across the UK, you know, a good 65-70% of these agents have one branch in terms of their focus. So just from our market research point of view, I'm just going to put this one out there as well. It's for letting agents. So you can do exactly the same. Select away, hit submit, and we'll share those results as well. I'm going to close that poll. Okay, again, yes, a very interesting. You know, 65-70% of those agents are on this webinar now are sub. You know, what was sub 500 there, aren't they? With the majority of the chunk being in the sub 200 area as well, which some other agents are 500 plus properties. So, very good mix of agents on the call as well. Okay, so just coming into the statistics side of things. Now, several years ago, I think when the NLA or Shelter launched results like this, 39% of landlords face rental arrears at some point of, you know, of running that property life cycle. 22% face other types of tenant issues. So for the 39% on the call, we're mainly talking rental arrears here, Section 8 mainly as well. 22% are facing other types of tenant issues, such as antisocial behaviour, loud noises, all the types of problem tenants that you can think of that has got nothing to do with rent arrears. Now, these stats are from the Shelter and NLA. We have seen an increase of landlords facing rent arrears over the last 12 to 18 months. We used to actually quote one in three landlords will face rental arrears at some point in time, but that's slightly increased. And the same with other types of tenant issues now. There's, obviously, from previous webinars, for those that have been on, there's been a lot of change from the way prescribed informations came into place, Deregulation Act, new Section 8, new Section 21s, right to rent came into place now as well. So there's a lot more to actually fall foul of in terms of being a landlord or letting agent. The other interesting one is average rental arrears before we're contacted. So we run a free advice line here, and just average stats-wise, landlords direct, and these are mainly landlords who manage their own properties, they contact us around 3 months of that rental arrears point, which, so 90 days has passed, the tenants haven't paid, and then it's thinking, right, okay, we need to get serious about this now. Who do we go out to see? What do we do? What are the next steps? So that 3 months is such a long period in terms of waiting to react. Obviously, now in between that period, the time is, you know, there might be an emotional attachment there. There might be some fantastic excuses or reasons why the tenant's not paid, or whatever it may be. There's cause for concern. You might have a buffer in your bank account to cover the first month or the second month, but it's interesting to see that it's at least 3 months now, and I'd say it's probably creeping up more and more as time goes on. And similarly, tenant demand is at an all-time high. You know, it's very hard to get a mortgage unless you're very cash-rich to get onto the property ladder. I think I read somewhere that the average renter now is 39 to 40 years old, which I think has almost doubled in the last 25, 30 years. And I think savings-wise, I think it's going to take, I think I read as well, I think the time is 20 years for the average tenants or first-time buyers to save up for the deposit for their ideal house, which, as you can imagine, the culture's changing, the shift is changing in our marketplace. It's moving towards a more rented situation in terms of the properties across the UK. And hence the reason why we're seeing the stamp duty increase as well from the 1st of April to try and manage that flow from the government. Obviously, that money's going to go straight into the government funds, but they're trying to put in these extra taxes or extra changes to try and curb this buy-to-let boom. And obviously, we don't want to fall foul in terms of a recession again in the coming years, like as we did in 2008, 2009. Obviously, the property market in a whole is a huge indicator of the economic forecast. And I mentioned a few things in terms of legislation. It has been updated a lot and fast lately. I mentioned new Section 21 templates, new Section 8 templates, right to rent, EPCs, gas certificate. There's a lot of demand for all these things. So if you need updating on that, obviously just let us know. We have covered them in other webinars, but we can touch across them again further. Okay, so 12 scenarios I'm going to go through in terms of, obviously they all sound like common sense, but these are things that we think you need to look out for in terms of potential pitfalls in the future, because property renting is a business. It's a medium to long term. It is not a short term. It's not a short term investment whatsoever, and neither should any of your decision making process be based on a short term. Letting agents are there to protect the landlords, and long term landlords are there to get quality tenants in to protect their long term investment as well. So there's a few things to look out for. Payment up front, in terms of a tenant saying, right, okay, I've got 12 months of payments up front, I want to pay that all up front in one lump sum. We'd say, from our point of view, alarm bells would be raised, and saying, well, why do you want to pay up front? Obviously, they might be very wealthy individual, lots of savings, and you'd assume so they'd check out. What we find in those circumstances is that they've got something to hide in terms of paying up front, therefore you don't think you have to do a for a tenant reference check, landlords, employers, credit checks, and it's a quick way of what we've seen in terms of, you know, cannabis farms is huge at the moment in the north and the northwest of England, as is other areas in the UK, and payment up front's always a huge indicator for potential areas of breaking the law for that reason. Unsure about the employment or previous addresses, quick common sense things like that, check Google. When you're sitting there with a tenant, if you're unsure, go to Google Street Map Review and find out, in terms of the property address, what it looks like. If the employment, and as they said, it's some sort of company, you're unsure about it, quick Google check, and you can see it's a two-bedroom flat in Camden. Obviously, it's not going to be their employment address, so they're already telling fibs. Fraudulent payslips is quite a common one. We always try and dual authenticate everything from our reference and point of view to try and counteract this. However, it is becoming more and more of an issue. Fraudulent payment slips, obviously linking it to bank accounts, you have to be wary of them. It's very hard to understand some of the type of fraud that we get going, but the more you can check this information, the better. Well, another one to just alarm bells, huge savings but no income. Obviously, where those savings come from? Have you won the lottery? You know, what is that situation? Why do you want to rent a property? Working with family members, it's always a funny one. I think we always have this in our referencing team. I think the example that pops to mind that I heard somebody talk about last week was there was a small butcher's, I think there was two staff, one of them was a family member, and one of the daughters of the owner was paid, I think, £60,000 to £70,000 for working in the butcher's full time, and obviously the bank statements didn't reflect that. So be wary of people working with family. I just gave a random example there. It's not always going to be the case. Self-employed, less than 12 months. Obviously, setting up your own business, unless you're very cash rich or you've got a lot of funds in the bank account, and there's always a slightly higher risk there. We'd always say try and get a guarantor in that instance as well. It's not necessarily always the case, but it's just something to look out for. Next six top tips as well. Check the job role of the guarantor. It's always often missed from agents and landlords. If you think a guarantor, mum and dad, get that process, get that put through. But just check the job role of what that guarantor does. Individual tenant wanting to rent a very large property. This does pop up now and then. You know, why would one tenant want to rent a 4-5 bedroom property? You know, some people are like that and very wealthy individuals. However, alarm bells would ring definitely then as well. Have a quick glance on social media. Now, I'm not saying to judge this whether in or out. I know a lot of recruitment agencies and recruitment side of things look at social media, but you know, at the end of the day, it's your property, or you're an agent managing it on behalf of one of your landlords. You want to have a quick check on social media, so have a quick look at what this person is like or how they portray themselves. It's just, again, a quick indicator of to try and get a look and feel. Mobile numbers for all referees. Again, how can you prove the validity of those mobile numbers in terms of fraud? And that's the key thing here. You know, landline numbers are obviously ideal for employers, potential for landlords as well, but some landlords may not have a landline or provide it. But be wary of mobile numbers for referees as well, because anybody could be, you know, anyone could give a mobile number in and provide a reference for that one. If you've asked them in terms of rental addresses and how many previous years or what they've covered in terms of where they've been living and their address history, so again, alarm bells, multiple or serial renter. You need to be very wary of that aspect as well. You know, there's got to be a reason for that. How can you validate it? How can you confirm it? If they're hopping from one property to the next, is it because of a job role, and is it validated? Can you confirm that? And then another one that does pop up a lot, and I think there's two reasons for this. Unnecessary questioning of the referencing process. You know, why do you need to speak to my employer? Why do you need to speak to my previous landlord? Now, obviously, there's two reasons from the applicant's or the tenant's point of view there. And that's one is because they haven't rented before, and it's obviously just needs to be educated on the whole process. But secondly, you know, have they got something to hide? Are they telling white lies on their application form or their earnings or income? Is there something to look out for there in that aspect? And it's just alarm bells. Like a lot of these that I've covered here today are common sense when you think about them. But the biggest thing is you've just got to use your common sense and be practical about renting that property, because the majority of you are looking at 12-month plus tenancy agreements. Okay, so to summarise, get your tenants fully referenced. I think it's a no-brainer. I think for any type of landlord, if you're starting out with those 1-3 properties or your experienced landlord, and similarly for letting agents, it's, you know, it's a mandatory requirement. Use your common sense, which is obvious when you think about it. Don't just think about the money and getting that money in, cover the rent, you've got mortgage to pay. You have to get that tenant right as possible. You know, no tenant referencing company out there in the world will guarantee everything inside out and predict the future, you know, but we will try to prevent and minimise that risk as much as possible. But then if accident, sickness, unemployment comes into play, then you can always add on rent and legal protection for extra peace of mind. I want to touch on that point, that medium to long term there, because you never base a new tenant based on a short-term quick win decision. I mentioned tenant demand's at an all-time high now. There will be other tenants for different properties. You just have to weigh everything up. Don't just react just because you want to get somebody in straight away to pay, start paying that rent. It has to be the right fit, and if there's any question marks or concerns, then potentially get insurance to cover that, or be wary and pick another tenant. Where possible, meet your tenants face-to-face. If you've got a managing agent doing this, they obviously can do that for you. If you live locally, then I'd definitely recommend for every landlord to meet the tenants face-to-face. If there's any tenant issue, act swiftly. Obviously, open lines of communication. If you've got an agent managing the property with you, they can do all this for you. If you're managing it yourself, act as soon as possible, open lines of communication. And eviction is always the last case resort. And obviously, you want to avoid that as much as possible because it could be costly, could cost and very timely, as time-consuming as well, and obviously stressful. Okay, Q&A. I'm just going to pop open the question tab. Okay, I've got a few questions here. I'm just going to pick one. As a landlord, what's a good rule of thumb for savings? I'm assuming that you mean in terms of worst case scenario, so I'm going to go on that assumption. So best practice, I'd say, around 4 to 6 months of rent should be considered as your zero balance per property you own on your bank account. So for example, if you've got three properties in your portfolio, you run them all from one bank account, or have two or three bank accounts depending on how many you've got and what transactions involved. But in your mindset, always have that zero balance, as that 4 to 6 months as possible. Now, it could be a lot of money with average rents being 750 plus, but that's your goal and target. And you know, it's that old cliche, there's a reason why the perception of landlords is that we're all tight, is that because we have to consider worst case scenario and manage money well as possible. So if you've got a managing agent that's looking after your properties for you, you are less likely to face any tenant arrears as well, or tenant issues. Okay, this one links in. What's the average eviction timescale in the UK? And obviously it depends on what courts that you're dealing with and what type of area you are in the UK. But I'd say it's around 5 months. If you start with serving notices, possession order, and then moving potentially to bailiffs. So 5 months is probably the average, and which is obviously a long time. It's a loss of rent for that period, and obviously it's extra mortgage to be paying and potential expenses and legal expenses if you haven't got insurances to cover that in terms of rent and legal insurance. Hence why I say 4 to 6 months cover of rental payments, which is not ideal. However, you have to be thinking like this now as a landlord. It's not just you're not a charity at the end of the day. If you have issues, it's going to cost you money and time. Can you add admin fees to arrears when serving notices? So I'm assuming this is for Section 8. If you've got rent arrears, then whatever's in that tenancy agreement in terms of rent, you only can include rent arrears within that tenancy agreement. You can't add on admin fees that incorporate and add up to 2 months rent arrears in terms of saving a Section 8. Otherwise, we'll be in problems if we got to court on that. Okay, somebody's asked, will the recording of this session be made available? They missed the first few minutes. Yes, the session of this is always it's recorded in terms of the voice and the presentation, so if you do want a copy of it, then just email into marketing and one of the marketing team will send this over to you. Okay, so a quick one. Okay, I think that covers. Okay, I'll pick another one. When referencing, is the right to rent not automatically taken into account, thus removing the requirement upon the landlord or agent? So right to rent came into play. All tenants, for best practices, I think we covered this in terms of another webinar that we did in February when it came to play. So all tenancy agreements from a right to rent perspective, we'd say best practice is to cover right to rent regardless of whatever happens. Now, there's a number of ways we can do that for you. Otherwise, you can go on the government website and do the landlord check-in service as well. There's a lot more questions coming in, and notice that I'm running over time slightly, so we will guarantee to get back to everybody we'll aim to get back to everybody by tomorrow in terms of all the questions that you've asked. I'm just going to try and wrap up now. Okay, prize giveaway. We have a product called Inclusive, and that's a full comprehensive tenant reference combined with a legal expenses insurance. So if there's any rent arrears, and you really and you want to get rid of a tenant in any way and start that process, then obviously this product would cover that, but it wouldn't actually pay out the rent. So we're giving away four of these, and they're on per tenant basis. So if you could fill in on the notes section, you know, what's the best excuse you've had for a tenant to delay or not pay the rent? And I'll give a couple of minutes for you to put your answers in there, but the best one or two that we pick from there, we'll be in contact with you, and we'll give you a voucher for your next tenants that you want to reference, get them through. We'll cover the fee of the reference, and we'll put an insurance policy on that for you as well, free of charge. So any further information, call our free advice line, or feel free to email us, and we'll always get back to you within 4 working hours. And that's the end of it. I'll leave this open for now for anyone who wants to put through the top reasons as to why, and then we might put something on social media on that aspect as well. But otherwise, thank you for listening to our 4th webinar. Again, any suggestions for our next one, then please keep us posted. Thanks a lot. Thank you for your time.